West Coast Summer College Training, July 7th through 13th, 2008, Sacramento, California, United States. Title, That I May Gain Christ. Morning Session 2, Practicing the Twos or Threes. Message 2, Beginning to Practice the Twos or Threes.
Amen. Amen. I long to build it be.
Amen.
Let me ask you a quick question. What is the topic of this hymn we just sang? Of course, the main line in there is, oh, may my spirit flow. But what is the point of our spirit flowing? It is for the church, her building.
Amen.
I appreciate our brothers giving a good overview yesterday. And the goal of God's economy is that the church would be builded.
Amen.
This is what we're here for. This is why we exist. This is why we are saved. This is why we need two kinds of salvation.
Amen.
In our daily life, we need a constant salvation and we need a particular salvation from our particular experiences. So God's economy is to build up the church, which is His body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
Amen.
He, as the Spirit right now, is joined to our spirit, mingled with our spirit, but He's longing to move out from there.
Amen.
Too long, our spirit has imprisoned Him. Actually, our soul has imprisoned the Lord only within our spirit. Too little, we are able to release our spirit in a good way through the faculties of our soul so that we could be builded with other saints. This is the main point today, the goal that we want to get to. How do we open up our spirit?
Amen.
How do we get released for the building of the church?
Amen.
Well, we need to take a step back first, and I'd like to draw something for you that really helped me. God's desire today, as we heard, is to build up the body of Christ, but it's to have a reality in our daily living.
Amen.
This is what we call the reality of the body of Christ. A group of people who are daily living in the reality that Jesus lived when He was a man on this earth, as seen in the Gospels. So we have the reality of the body of Christ. But this is still somewhat abstract, so we need a further help. The reality of the body of Christ is reached through the blending. Blending, real blending, is not just a group of people getting together and having a good time, doing things that they mutually enjoy together. Blending is through the cross, by the Spirit, to dispense Christ for the building of the body of Christ. It's through the cross. And we'll see a point later why we need the cross. And it's through this, by the Spirit, to dispense Christ. We don't just want to get together and have some fun, but we want to dispense Christ to one another.
Amen.
Haven't we been enjoying a marvelous dispensing this week?
Amen.
And today we're enjoying His dispensing.
Amen.
But still, we need something a little bit more practical than this. If we go one step further, this takes place in the vital groups. But at the cellular level of the vital groups, we have the twos and threes. Is what our brothers brought out today, yesterday. We need the twos and threes. And we'll see later this week, actually, that the twos and threes carried out in prayer. But we won't get into that today. So, we need the twos and threes to attain to God's heart's desire.
Amen.
And we want to have a beginning. Why don't we open up? Well, if you've already... All the clicking's over, so I assume everyone has taken out this page. Page 65. Why don't we read the overall title of this series, Be Practicing, and then we'll read the title of this particular message beginning.
Amen.
Practicing the twos or threes. Beginning to practice the twos or threes. So we want to have a beginning. I appreciate our brother sharing from Santa Ana. They had this time at the summer college training last year. And some of them had a desire. 9 of them, in fact, had a desire to enter into this. They didn't know, they didn't have much experience. They had heard something. They had the vision presented to them. It had been instilled in them and into their being. And then they endeavored to practice. Just to have a beginning means something to the Lord. We need to start somewhere. No one will start off perfect. I realize in preparing for this speaking, this is something beyond me. But at least I need to have a beginning. In the Lord. Lord, here I am. I'm a vessel. I'm open to you. I'm open to the Lord and what he would desire. So I'm just here. I have a beginning. It won't be perfect. That's why we have the Lord's blood to cleanse us. And we need him as our sin and trespass offering for all our mistakes that we eventually will make in learning how to be in these twos and threes. But we need to have a beginning, and we also need to have a practice. Practice implies something that is sustained over a period of time, even requiring a special output. I was looking out on the field, and there were there was a team out there in the heat of the day, practicing, pushing themselves beyond their normal limit, beyond something that they would normally do to attain to a higher degree. So we need to learn how to push out a little bit, to go beyond our comfort zone in our spirit with one another, to get out of ourselves, out of the natural realm and our natural inclinations. This is by exercising our spirit together. So let's go ahead and read Roman numeral 1 together. Principle for God's people is that they should be grouped together in twos or threes. Hence, all need to be grouped together with some companions. In Matthew 18:20 says, "For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst." Amen. The two or three have been gathered into his name. Amen. This is not something that they have done in and of themselves, but they have been gathered by the Lord. Actually, the reason for their being together is that the Lord has called them. Right? The term ascribed to the believers, one of the terms ascribed to the believers in the New Testament, is that they are saints. And the root of that word means ones who are called out. So we have been called out of all kinds of things. We've been called out of the world, especially to be with our brothers and sisters. This is what it means to be gathered. And we are gathered into the Lord's name. Amen. Into his person, actually. So there the Lord is in our midst. And A says, the young people must make the decision to pick up some others as companions. Amen. Each young person needs at least one companion. Philippians 2:19, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged by knowing the things concerning you. Amen. Our brother brought out yesterday that a good number of the epistles that Paul wrote was written with Timothy or with another brother, even in a group of three with Sosthenes in one case. So the Lord sending Timothy to the believers indicated his desire for them to be grouped together with another believer. And this was an encouragement to the Apostle Paul, that he would know, even there's a point here, that he would know the things concerning you. Many times in our life, we have things that concern us. There's a lot of things, large things, small things, related to school, related to our living situation, related to finances, related to family members, related to friends. So we have a lot of things that concern us. But we don't need to bear the weight of those things on our own. To do that is too much. We would be crushed if we tried to bear all these burdens on our own. This is why we need to learn how to open up. Actually, trying to bear them on our own binds us more than anything else on this earth. Trying to bear the burden apart from the body binds us. We need to be with someone that we can open up our situation to. The Lord in John 21 was recovered Peter. Peter was in a backsliding condition. He had gone, taken all the disciples fishing. And in his individualism, he had jumped off the boat, showed up at the shore, then hauled, when the Lord spoke to the disciples and told them to haul in the net, Peter himself went and hauled the net by himself, full of 153 fish. That's not a small task, to haul a fisherman's net with 153 large fish in it. All by himself, probably without fellowship. It's okay, guys, I'm strong. Probably he was quite strong. But the point was that he did it himself when the Lord had specifically instructed all the disciples. He had instructed those there to haul in the net. So then the Lord, in his shepherding of Peter, helped him to see that he was a failure, and that he needed the Lord. He needed the Lord's love to be infused into him for his shepherding of the saints. Amen. So in order to sometimes the Lord is about to do something marvelous through us. But we are bound by a situation. We just need our soul to be unlocked so that our spirit can flow out through our soul. And maybe there would be a friend that could be saved. Actually, there was this case. I had a friend for a long time. I grew up with him. We did sports together in high school. We did a lot of things together. But he was an unbeliever, and I had a strong burden for him to be saved. And eventually I opened this matter up to another brother, and we prayed about it, and he mentioned, well, why don't you invite him to our home this coming evening when you're coming over? And it just never occurred to me. Oh, yeah, okay. So I went to my friend. I asked him if he'd like to come with me to have a little dinner. And we went to the home, and he got saved. Amen. That day. Amen. It was marvelous. And we had marvelous fellowship on the way home. A friend that I had known for years finally could receive the Lord. I wouldn't have to see him go to the lake of fire because I didn't say something to him. Anyways, that was a great release. Even to open that burden up to the body, to bear it in the body so that this one could be saved. This is the practical outworking of the twos and threes. Fruit is born because of that. People whose situations seem impossible in our eyes, especially those who are close to us, we have the hardest time, then there could be a way for them to be released. Number one says, do not have companions in a loose way, choosing them because you like a person or because a person is similar. Number two, before going to get a companion, we need to pray, Lord, give me someone as a companion or send someone to me. Bring me into contact with the one whom you choose. Three, if we love the Lord, we should be able to go to any brother or sister to be our companion, not caring for what they are like and forgetting all the differences. In 2 Peter 3:15, Peter writes concerning Paul, and he uplifts his ministry to the highest. Prior to that, in Galatians, Paul had rebuked Peter to his face because he turned back to the Jews. He was eating with the Gentiles, but when some came from Jerusalem, Peter turned away, thus negating God's economy and uplifting the Old Testament. And so that was a stumbling block to the young believers in Jerusalem, what Peter had done. So Paul had rebuked him to his face. Yet here, at the end of Peter, at the end of 2 Peter, we see that Peter was not caring for the differences that they had held. Actually, they had become related to one another in the Spirit. They began to know one another, not according to their natural preference, according to their their desire, their natural desire, his natural desire for someone like him. But according one whom God had placed with him. For as companions, we should avoid having the relationship turn into a mere friendship or social interchange. The contact and fellowship with our companions should be limited by the cross of Christ. Amen. In Matthew 12, the Lord turns from the people whom he was related to by the flesh. The Lord was born of Mary, who was a Jew. Of course, his real father was God himself, but his father, according to the marriage to Mary, was also a Jew, was Joseph. So he was raised, according to the flesh, a Jew. But actually, he did not desire to be related to them according to the flesh. He was asked the question, who are your mother, your brother, and your sister? He said, all these are, referring to all the believers, all the saved ones, whom he was to be related to according to the Spirit. Actually, he was going to go to the cross, die, be resurrected and become the life-giving Spirit, and then be breathed out into his disciples so that he could be related to them according to the Spirit. No more just outside of them, giving them some teaching and some adjustment, but he was going to be inwardly related to them. So in our twos and threes, we need to learn how to be related to one another according to the Spirit. This goes to even the deepest of human relationship between a husband and wife, where we are related to one another, not according to the flesh, not according to our natural preference for them. Of course, they are a complement or match, but we need to learn how to know them according to the Spirit. Amen. Even how to enjoy and experience the Lord with them in the Spirit. Amen. This is one of the top vital groups. Anyways, we won't get into that. B, as companions, being grouped together in twos or threes, we should always come together to fellowship, pray, pursue the truth, and take care of new ones. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy 2:22. Amen. Why don't we go ahead and read that together? But flee youthful lusts
and pursue righteousness.
Amen.
Love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Amen. And let me read point one before we get into that. In the group, we need to pray together and fellowship together in order to know each other in a thorough and intimate way. So in this verse, we have righteousness, which is toward others, faith, which is toward God, love, which is with one another, and this results in a situation of peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So what are we pursuing? Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So our pursuit is toward God, pursuing faith. This faith actually is God infused into us through our contacting him in our spirit. And our spirit, actually, according to 2 Corinthians 4:13, is a spirit of faith. So God, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, infuses himself into us. But we also pursue love, which is the nature and condition of these groupings, the twos and threes. So with one another, as we are enjoying God as our faith, He is infusing himself into us as love, and spontaneously we have a love for one another, and we should begin to know each other in a thorough and intimate way, even opening up our situations, not in a loose or careless way, opening up all kind of deep things which we may not need to open up to that particular one. But we do need to unload ourselves so that our function can be released.
Amen.
And then we pursue righteousness toward others. This, the most righteous thing we can do toward our fellow man is to speak the gospel to them.
Amen.
The gospel is the power of God.
Amen.
To those who believe, because it is based on God's righteousness.
Amen.
His righteous blood shed for us. When we bring a sinner to God, to repent to God and to believe into God, they are made righteous before God.
Amen.
Amen. Two, using a part of our companion fellowship and prayer time to pursue the truth and to speak the truth to one another is very profitable.
Amen.
We'll get into that tomorrow. Three, after getting to know one another intimately and being blended to have the one accord, the group should pick up the burden and take action to contact others.
Amen.
Daniel 11:32. Though the people who know their God will show strength and take action. Four, the group then should shepherd and take care of new ones together corporately. We'll get into more on that later in the week. C, if the young people are grouped together in this way. Actually, let's read this together. The young people are grouped together in this way. Gospel preaching campuses.
Put Satan to shame.
Amen. Hallelujah. Can we have the brothers read B again? Under room number one.
As companions being grouped together in twos or threes, we should always come together to fellowship, pray, pursue the truth, and take care of new ones.
Amen.
Amen.
I really enjoyed this word, companions.
Amen.
In fact, I was impressed with this word again in Ecclesiastes. Where he shared that if you fall, you need a companion to lift you up. And through our brother sharing yesterday, that would impress me. Not just someone, not just anyone. If I collapse here, I need my companion.
Yeah.
What does that signify? That signifies you're built up with that person to a certain extent.
Right.
I don't know too many of these brothers on the front row. So I can't really say they're my companions. I love them in the Lord, right? They're my companions in the Lord. But according to this definition of companion, it's more than just someone, a brother, a sister. And I think this is what we want to get into, is that for the twos and threes, like our brother brought out, we need the reality of the body of Christ. For that, we need the blending, because we're so many individual grains. And we'll see that individualism is like a germ in our being. We're all infected. But in order for us to reach the reality of the body of Christ, that individualism needs to be blent out. And for this, we have the twos and threes brought in through much and thorough prayer. And I just appreciate this matter but it's been exposing, realizing how little we really practice these twos and threes, which is what we're getting into today. The germ of independence, I've just been a little exposed, a little convicted, how little I practice the grouping according to the twos and threes. So we need companions.
Yeah.
We're all in the church life, right? Whoever's in the church life, say amen.
Amen.
Well, can you say that you're blent with the whole church in the locality where you meet? No. I meet in the church in Long Beach, and I can't say that I'm blent and mingled with everybody there, that I am, that they're all my companions, and my, we're all grouped together, but really, we have to see that this matter of grouping is in the small building blocks, like what the brother shared. The basic building block of the body of Christ is the twos and threes. So we need to see this is vital, even for the impact on the gospel, the impact for the testimony is something corporate. We need the twos and threes. And one thing I've just been appreciating, well, this brought out Matthew 18:19 is so rich. I'll just read it. I've just been enjoying this. If any two of you are in harmony on earth, you believe that? Any two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter for which they ask, it will be done for them.
Amen.
Wow. Any two of you in harmony. What's this harmony? This harmony is the one accord.
Right.
Right.
It's like the symphony of music playing a melodious tune, right? It's in harmony. It's in melody. This is not simply, you find another Christian and you get together and we pray. That may not be in harmony. You have the oneness of the Spirit. We're both regenerated. We share the same life. But do you have the one accord? Is there the harmony, the melody that reaches the throne of God? And he says, whatever you ask in harmony, it will be done. And I just, even so far in these last few days, I've seen glimpses of this. And I just been appreciating it. How much we need to be grouped together. And not merely anyone or just someone, but specific ones. We'll see. We need to be grouped with the ones we're with. It's very practical. You know, I meet, like I said, in the church in Long Beach. So I need to be mingled and blent with those in the church. And even more specifically, maybe those I meet with during the week. You know, I meet in a few homes. I meet at one home on Friday night. Well, there we go. A perfect opportunity to be practically blent with the saints. And the Lord has placed me in that home. So there's saints, not so many, but brought down to a smaller level that I can maybe be blent with two or three. Or maybe I have a classmate. You see, so the Lord has grouped us according to His wisdom, placed us with others, and we'll see this. We need to be blent with these ones. The Lord has placed us, maybe your classmate, maybe maybe two or three in your home meeting. You can be practically blended in the twos and threes. And one thing that impressed me about the twos and threes, this is where the blessing is. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I've just been appreciating more and more miraculous, marvelous things take place when we have the twos and threes. Asking in the Lord's name, and He answers. I just realized this is a major, vital missing that we see in our Christian life. I would say in Christianity in general, but also in our Christian life. You know, we realize so many times I'm weak. I'm not vital. My friends aren't getting saved. We have relatives that are unbelievers. Why aren't they being saved? You know, and you realize the Lord is withholding something from us. Surely He wants these to be saved, but I believe He wants us to touch the power, the vitality in the vital groups that commands God to carry out, right? He wants all men to be saved, but I just realized there's a law, there's a blessing here in the twos and threes when you're brought into not just the oneness, but the one accord. Like in Philippians 1:27, Paul says, I hear the things concerning you, that you stand firm in one spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe we're all here in one spirit.
Amen.
Striving together in one soul.
Yeah.
There's the one soul. That's harder. That's a little harder. And for that, we need this matter of the blending.
Yeah.
Right? And so why don't we have the sisters read 3 under B. We covered 1 and 2, praying and fellowship and then speaking the truth. We want to get together intimately. So let's read sisters, verse 3. Getting to know one another. Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. After getting to know one another intimately. And I appreciated this point because this takes time. Blending takes time. The twos and threes take time. You don't just fall into a group of two brothers or two sisters and you're a vital group. You're the twos and threes. We're going to go conquer the campus. This takes time. This is natural, you know, normal for us. We're all one in spirit, but our soul, we're just independent. This germ, we have a lot of pride. We have a lot of self-importance. Even sometimes we have inferiority. We feel like we're not up to the standard. Some are superior. They feel like they're better. Well, these things have to be broken down. This is the independent germ that's in us, where we think we're somebody else and we don't need the body, right? And so this takes time. We have to pass through a process, a period of time to be blended. I just appreciate it. Brother Dick's experience was really precious. You know, when he went to that man, Vitus, remember him?
Yeah.
That one that said he threatened every Christian that ever came to his door.
Yeah.
But I appreciated one thing, a couple things I picked up. When he was with Doc, they were grouped together. Doc was 76. He was 18. But what did he do? He spent time to be blended, right?
Amen.
They didn't just go, let's go, you know, and they went up to Vitus' house and it might have been the last we've seen of them, right? But they waited. They waited to be blent, right? They prayed, right? They prayed together. They picked up the burden. You know, it wasn't let's go, but it was they prayed. They got to know one another. They probably fellowshipped about different things. You know, got to know how many kids does Doc have, you know, and oh, when did you get saved and how was your salvation experience? When did you get baptized? You know, you share these things. You get to know one another. And then in their prayer, they had a burden. We need to go. Right? And they strengthened one another. Amen. I'm standing with you. So even I think he said 2 weeks. Right? It wasn't instantaneous. It was 2 weeks. They spent time. And then they went. And then when they went, they were standing in the one accord. Right? Doc said something that maybe Dick didn't quite agree with, but he just said, amen, you know, amen. He was standing with them. And then what happened? They got into the house. And one thing that impressed me, you know, this matter in Matthew 18, any two of you are in harmony on earth concerning any matter, right? It will be done for them. And I'll just expose myself. When he said, you know, like they were sitting down preaching the gospel and they were just talking. And I think Dick's word was, you know, we didn't even know what the words were, maybe not right, but the impact was there,
yeah.
Right? The impact.
Yeah.
And then the TV was bothering him. Do you remember that story?
Yeah.
And instantly I was like, okay, all right, yeah, that's a little too much, a little too miraculous. But, if you know, I just realized, you know, of course, that's the enemy, the lie there. But he prayed, right, for the, oh, bind the TV, and then the lines, and then the TV had to be turned off. The wife came in and turned it off. I realized they were two in harmony on earth, right? If Dick just would have went over there without fellowshipping, and it would have been a different story. But they were two in harmony, and so God saved Mr. Vitus, brought him into the church. And when I was hearing this, it just reminded me of Ecclesiastes 4, where he said that a man may prevail against the one. And who's this man? It's Satan. He's prevailing against Vitus, right? He's got this one, and this is all of our experience. He's got us. But two will withstand him. So the two came in the one accord. And they brought in what? The threefold cord that's not quickly broken. They brought the gospel in oneness and it saved him. You know, I just realized there's power there that we haven't touched. There's vitality there that we need to touch. And I'm speaking to myself. I've just been so impressed realizing, you know, through others' experience, we'll hear more, I'm sure, during the week. We need to touch the twos and threes.
Yeah.
This is where the power of the Spirit is. And this is what the Lord is waiting for, right? For the vitality in our Christian life. So why don't we have the brothers read 4. We should shepherd one another. Amen. Amen. Wow. Amen. This was a big salvation to me. This was this matter here of corporate fruit bearing, even of corporate gospel. You know, realizing, you know, some of us, we realize John 15, you have to bear fruit. This is a requirement, right? Or you'll be cast out. Right? All the branches don't bear fruit are cast out. And this could be sobering. But you realize, I just appreciate it, we're branches of the same vine. And so when we're built together in the twos and threes, this becomes a corporate matter. Even Brother Dick sharing was that the gospel is not an individual matter, it's a corporate matter. Right? Because the church life is a corporate matter.
Amen.
The twos and threes. And so I just appreciated that we don't have to bear this burden of saving somebody, getting them baptized, bringing them into the church. You know, and then I got to take care of them and minister life to them. But what was John Keller's experience, right? He had a burden for a friend, and he didn't know what to do.
Right.
And so he brought it to a brother. And the brother said, well, come over to my house. Bring him over to my house. You know, and there was the corporate fruit bearing.
Right.
But that's John's fruit. That's the brother's fruit. It's not, you know, it just realized this simplifies and makes it so easy. In fact, we'll see this power in the twos and threes is something spontaneous.
Amen.
You know, this is what, Lord, I want to touch this power in the twos and threes. Something effortless and spontaneous. And so why don't we have, all together, let's read C. If the young people are grouped together in this way, the gospel preaching on the campuses
will be like fire.
Amen. Wow. Vince people.
Put Satan to shame.
Amen. Put Satan to shame. Wow. Be like wildfire. I just enjoyed this point. If we are grouped together, in this way, the gospel preaching on the campuses will be like wildfire. Be prevailing. Convince people and put Satan to shame. This is what the Lord wants us to enter into. This is the Christian life. It's a life living out Christ. But this life is not expressed in individual Christians marching, right? We're not just soldiers. There's a couple of hymns, you know, Onward Christian Soldiers. And charge soldiers, charge in battle. We have this view that we're all soldiers, right? And we are. We're all soldiers. And we're marching. And we're marching on to war. But we're not just marching and... Amen, Brother Brian. Amen. You know? I don't really know my brother. And, you know, I'm just here with soldiers that have the same hate for the enemy. We want to bring in God's kingdom. But we need to be built and blent together. And so there's a need for us to be grouped and blended. And the Lord really wants to fill our week with this kind of grouping, this kind of blending. And I just enjoyed John 12:24 in a new light. You know, John 12:24 says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And this touched me. It said, so you break it down. Unless it falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. So our problem is we're independent grains. We're individual soldiers. We're alone. But God's desire is that we would fall into the ground and die. Like John brought out, there's the cross of Christ in the twos and threes. There's a little bit of a killing. Kills our independent, individualistic self, which we all have. But there's the need for that to be blent together. Yeah. So if we don't die, if we don't get into the twos and threes, you're just an individual grain. You abide alone. None of us want to be alone. And, you know, I think in our student life or on the campuses, we realize we're independent. We're individualistic. Nobody here, I don't think anyone here really loves it when they have group time. You know, we get together and have a group project. I hated group projects because there was always a few there that just were slackers. They didn't really want to contribute. And so you end up, and everybody's independent. There was always one or two that just, some of them would just give in and say, I'll just do the whole thing. You know, I'll just take care of it. And then the two slackers would be like, yeah, you know, all right. Well, this exposes our independent nature. We don't like to be with others. And in this, it's the same way in the church life. We like to go, many times we don't like to be known by others. We don't want others to know our weak points. We all have weak points. We want others to think we're doing fine, right? I'm doing good, you're doing good. Praise the Lord. But I appreciate the Lord didn't stand for this. And I like what John brought out about Peter. Peter was just an individual grain. He was with the Lord for 3.5 years, but what did the Lord want? He wanted a blended group.
Amen.
And he worked on these 12 disciples. And I just appreciate the picture. You know, you read the Gospels. Okay, we have 12 disciples. This is a vital group. But you read, and they're often mentioned in groups of twos and threes. Right? In John 12, the verse we just read, or I just read, when before he unveiled the matter of the grain of wheat, somebody came to Philip, I believe it was Philip, and said, Philip, we want to see Jesus. And Philip and Nathaniel, or Andrew, sorry, Philip and Andrew went and told Jesus. So Philip and Andrew are mentioned together. Peter, James, and John mentioned together. Many times there's groups of disciples, but they're mentioned in small groups of twos and threes. This is a principle in the Christian life we need to see. So the Lord was dealing with Peter. Peter was a little unblendable, right? He thought he was the super one, you know? Oh, Lord, and they all deny you. I'll never deny you. You know, this is Peter, right? I'm the top disciple. Right? And so even after the Lord died and resurrected, he was there with the disciples, and they were in the boat, you know, on the other side fishing, and the Lord appears, and then John said, it's the Lord. And what did Peter do? Right? Oh, I'll get there first. He jumped into the water and began to swim. It just exposes. Okay, maybe that was his thought. Maybe he just, you know, was excited. But then the Lord says, get the net. And what did he do? He just grabbed it himself. It said, Peter grabbed. I mean, no faith. Hey, bro, let's get it, brothers. I mean, it was, I'll do it. You know, and that just, and then what did he do after that in front of the fire, right? Didn't he say, you know, three times he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? He probably was referring to the disciples. Do you love me more than all these other disciples? You think you love me the most, right? Three times he asked him. And so eventually on the third time he said, Lord, you know. And you just realize the Lord was doing a little breaking on Peter, exposing him. Peter, you think you're something, but you're really just like these other 11. And in fact, or 10 at the time. But in fact, you need to be blent with these brothers. And these brothers need to be blent with you.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Lord wanted to pour out the Spirit on Pentecost.
Yeah.
And in Acts 1:14, they were together in one accord praying, right, for 10 days.
Yeah.
And then the Lord poured out the Spirit.
Yeah.
So the Lord wanted to command His blessing, but He needed the harmony on earth to call down the Spirit. And this was marvelous in Acts 2:14. Peter standing with the 11. So
Amen.
We see a Peter here that's blent with the disciples.
Wow.
And this principle runs through the whole Bible. You read this with the view of the twos and threes. Paul, Silvanus and Timothy, Sosthenes. I mean, you realize it's all over the place. Okay, so we want to spend a little bit of time here to get into what's it really look like. How do we practice the twos and threes? So Roman numeral 2, we should learn to blend in twos or threes in daily life. Right? Fellowship is the basis for blending. Fellowship. Fellowship is to acknowledge that you're short. Fellowship is to acknowledge I'm inadequate. I need the body. I need to fellowship. Peter didn't fellowship much. when he was an individual grain, you know, with the Lord, but without the Spirit. But then eventually, when he got called to Cornelius' house, he fellowshiped with the brothers. He said, brothers, let's go. He didn't just go when the guards came. He got the brothers and took the brothers with him. There was fellowship. He began to fellowship. So why don't we have the sisters read one? And this is, I just really enjoyed this point. Point one, sisters. Amen. Amen. Right. Wow. Right. Amen. So the first thing, like I mentioned before, is to know one another. We need to get to know one another in a personal way, in an intimate way. This is not so easy. We're beginning to practice the twos and threes in our group time, the twos and threes after the group time. And you'll see, we don't all open up, you know, everything that's troubling us. Some of us may be really going through something right now, you know, but, and I would say it's normal to not open it up, you know, all the way. Just, I'm struggling with this and, you know, my parents' situation or my situation or, you know, we don't open up all together. We need to spend time to get to know one another. Because we have to know that the ones I'm with will cover me. They love me. You know, we don't want to drop our guard unless we know they'll receive it. They'll love me and cover me and not tell it to the world. Okay, so, and the first thing is to know what, I like how he brought out here, we should fellowship concerning our status. What's your status? It's very practical. What's your major? How many brothers and sisters do you have? Are they all saved? Are you working and going to school, part-time, full-time? Do you commute? Do you live in another state, or your parents live in another state, and you're, you know, living in the dorms? And how long have you been saved? I mean, it could be anything. Really practical. Get to know one another. We need to know if someone's having a hard time in class. Maybe they're about to change majors. That's a big thing. You know, I've been in school for 3 years, and I think I'm going to change my major. What if you have no idea? You find out after the semester begins, oh, you change your major. Maybe you're not so blunt. You know, this is practical. We need to know the practical things, right? This is for, we'll see later. This is for our prayer. We need to know our spiritual condition. This is really helpful to me. We need to know our spiritual condition. We think many times we think we're okay, and I just want to read this section here. It's in Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups. It says, okay, instead of practicing the fellowship, we have practiced hypocrisy for years. We've all been hiding ourselves under a mask. Without the foundation of intimate and thorough fellowship, there can be no blending. And I love this section. We should not be afraid of being known by others. The more we are known in a proper way, the better. This will put down our pride. We all have pride. Take away our boasting. We all boast. Annul our superiority complex. And even put aside our inferiority complex. Amen. So whether you think you're superior or inferior, that needs to be put aside. Amen. We need to be able to be blunt with others. And we need to be honest with our spiritual condition. Maybe you have a real hard time with morning revival. You're really struggling with morning revival. But this is such a basic point in the Christian life. Nobody has a problem with morning revival. It's just me. I can't open that. You'll think I'm just a weak brother. But then you realize you find somebody and you open it. Oh, John, I just can't break through with the Lord in the morning. It's stale. I know I need to. And John would say, I had that problem recently. And you know what? Or maybe he would say, I have the same problem. And so we begin to pray for one another. Lord, morning revival. Or maybe you hate, hate's not a strong word. Maybe you can't do the gospel. The gospel is just too frightening. So you just tell another brother, the gospel is, I just can't do it. It's for others, not for me. And so you begin to pray, Lord, the gospel. What about the gospel? You just tell, you know, expose in a way your weaknesses. This is very helpful. And I just appreciate a brother sharing a testimony. He said, you know, there was him and this brother, they go on the gospel. And he's not good at opening, you know, walking up to somebody and saying, hey, how's it going? What's your, you know, I don't even know how to open. but you know, maybe that's my weakness. It's hard for me to walk up to somebody cold turkey unless I'm just, praise the Lord, I love Jesus, you know. But just to start a normal conversation, maybe it's a little hard. But maybe you're okay. You work better kind of coming in halfway through, or maybe sealing the deal, right? Yeah, well, in fellowship with your brother, you realize, okay, maybe I just can't. It's hard for me to open, but I like to feed off you. We'll stand. I'll stand with you, and maybe I'll enter in, right? And maybe the other brother says, yeah, it's really hard for me to close. How about, you know? But this was this brother's experience, and now when they go on the gospel, it's their sweet fellowship. There's the one accord. They're in harmony. They're working with one another. They're not just waiting get my portion in. I'll hurry up, brother. I just have something to release, and you know, but they're in one accord. So this is just, you just open even your spiritual condition, your present situation, in and with the Lord. Wow, there's too much here. Okay, I just want to read this other quote. It says, after being related, it will be very easy to overcome things. If we have a weakness, a weak point, which is hard to overcome, we should not try to overcome it by ourselves. We simply should be related to some brothers and sisters and bring that weak point to them. Then we will overcome it immediately and spontaneously. Amen. This is what I just enjoyed about the principle of the body in the twos and threes. There's just the Lord's blessing there in the twos and threes. You have a weak point, and the Lord's waiting for you to release it to another brother or another sister, and then the Lord can command the blessing. Brother Nee was sick, and he counted the days, 176 days, and he prayed, Lord, release me from this illness, release me from this sickness. And he didn't get an answer to his prayer until he said the Lord touched him to open it to another brother. And this is what he said, who I did not think so highly of. And I believe it was the next day or just immediately afterwards he was healed. So he realized there's something there. He opened it to another brother and they prayed. Even, you know, you don't want to go to another brother and say, brother, I don't think too much of you, but maybe we could be, you know. But the principle is that he was practicing the twos and threes. He opened up his weakness, even to another member, and the Lord shined on him. He's a member of the body. This brother, you need this brother. This brother needs you. We're, none of us should be individual grains. Okay, and this is really, in the small groups, we can drop our masks. Okay, two. However, we need to be careful concerning what we open to one another in public. In certain cases, this has caused serious trouble. And I appreciated this point because this is a real learning, and this takes love. You know, 1 Peter 4:18, love covers a multitude of sins, and we all need this kind of love to cover one another. And especially when we open to one another, we need to know. I'm not going to drop my mask unless I know Brother Andrew is going to cover me. He's not going to go blabbing everyone, and he's going to, in genuine love, he's going to pray for me. We'll pray together. I'm not going to expose my weaknesses because I want everybody to think I'm doing fine, right? We go in the church life. For example, I was going through a hard time a while ago, and you walk in Lord's Day morning, and the saints are there, and how you doing, Charles? I'm doing good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, and oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm good. But inwardly, oh, I was turmoil. I was having a real hard time. But there was a brother I was being related with, and we had a time on I believe it was Wednesdays at the time, And I, you know, Tuesday we'd go around and I'd see him and he'd ask how I'm doing. I'd say, oh, I'm all right, you know. But I just couldn't wait till Wednesday. Oh, Wednesday, when we get together, oh, whoosh, I just pour out. I couldn't wait, you know. And so Wednesday would come around and, oh, I'd just unload. And I just felt so released. And then we'd pray. And this was a big salvation to me. I couldn't open that to the whole church. But to my brother I was being blended with, he covered me. And then it just, you just realize he really cared for me and he loved me. He wouldn't go tell anybody else, right? And we could pray, and I just was released. But we have to realize that we really need to cover one another because this is a big weakness. We all like to think we're better, and so when we hear something about somebody else, we like to, you know, did you hear about Sister So-and-so? They had this problem, had this situation. We like others to know, whoa, they're lower than us. You know, it's a germ we have, right? And I just appreciated that. This love is not only for the ones you're with, but when you hear things, we need to be careful. Many times we hear things and we're quick to spread them on Facebook or MySpace. You know, we're just little, and it doesn't have to be a big thing, saints. It could be something, anything, just a little gossip. You don't realize how much a little gossip tears down the building. You know, we're trying to build up the body of Christ, and then a little gossip gets spread, and that just, whoever's reading it, how did that get out? What, you know, who's... It just instantly, this is just a damage. Yeah. And sometimes, especially if it's something personal that you weren't supposed to release, right. And the guise of fellowship, you hear something from your brother, and you go to another brother and say, brother, I'm really concerned. I just heard that. And you just, that was held in confidence. You know, sometimes there's a real serious matter. Maybe you need to open up to the elders. Maybe even not even use names at first. Maybe just generalize, unless it's really serious, before the Lord. But in principle here, we need to be careful about what we open. And also covering others what they open. This is the love in the twos and threes. And, you know, We need to open many things, but we don't want to open our feelings, our negative feelings about others, and we don't want to open up our past before we got saved. A lot of times this does not help. We don't expose how we used to live before we met the Lord and, oh, I used to do this, or you have a, you know, maybe you have a history of drugs, and you don't need to expose, oh, I did all that when I, you know, I did this and this. You don't go there. That does not build up the body, and that was prior to you receiving the life of God. So, and even if it wasn't, many times this kind of thing does not build. It does not help. So we need to open to the group about our difficulties. We need to open to one another in a genuine way, full of love, and cover one another. Really, I just appreciate this matter of the twos and threes, covering in love. This really this releases the vitality. And then in B, it says, after opening to one another concerning our present situation, we should pray for one another. Amen. And lastly, I just want to cover this point. This is what brings in the one accord, is the prayer. You know, it's not just some kind of social relationship, but you bring in the prayer, this joins you in the Spirit. This brings in the spirit of oneness to really bring in the vitality. This is what makes it a vital group, is the prayer. If you can't pray with your group, with your twos and threes, it's probably not a vital group, right? We need to be able to pray. Prayer brings in the Spirit, and this is critical, to pray for one another, not just talk about your situations, but pray for one another. Oh, Lord, this builds up a spiritual relationship, brings us out of the realm of a natural relationship, and brings us into something in the Spirit. And this is what we're here for, not just mere friendship, not just companions in the church life, but blended members, right? Members being blended in the Spirit. This is the Christian life, and this is the life of living Christ. And this is a big preservation. I just appreciated that this can be a real... When you're blended with others, when you go places, many times you bring another brother or another sister with you, you're just preserved from so many elements. Maybe you're with another brother and somebody comes up and invites you somewhere or says some things and you're with another brother. And so you just, it's easy for you to withstand. Where if you were alone, you might just, oh yeah, that sounds great. But you're with another brother. Many times this is a real salvation to us. Or another sister, maybe you're studying together and you have this urge to do something on the internet. Maybe spread some gossip, you know? Well, maybe you're with that other sister and there's some fellowship, there's some prayer, and you just have the sense, I'm with my sister, I don't want to do that now. You're just preserved. Yeah. Right? Brothers too. We're not immune to this germ. So anyway, I just praise the Lord for the principle of the body and the twos and threes and how we need to be grouped together. Amen. We need to get to know one another, spend the time, right? To be able to open to one another and love one another, cover one another, and this will really bring in the reality of the body of Christ.
Amen.